This is actually the 10th shiur in Shaar Avodah. We would have been much more ahead, but due to unforeseen circumstances, there's a number of weeks that we just couldn't have the shiur. Sometimes it was because of the very seriously bitter cold weather, snow actually, it's cold now, people are here, but also Baruch Hashem, many, many different simchas, so which happens to come out on the Monday night. Throughout the years, this is the 12th year. I think this never was a year that we had so many deferments as this particular year. Now, in the past, in the various years, we like juggled around. Monday, Tuesday, maybe Tuesday's a better day, one day. It never works out. You never know. You just switch to Monday, switch to Tuesday. So it's Hakom B'day Shemayim. We start out before we go to the Sefer Shaar Avodah that basically we're discussing. So as the Hakdamah, we discuss also various words of wisdom, you know, from Rabbeinu Yoyin and other areas as well. One of the very interesting inyanim of Rabbeinu Yoyin is, which is brought down, actually the Ramah brings it down in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Siman Tov Resh Gimel, where there basically discusses, you know, Naseh Hashem Yitshuva, of course everybody knows the 10 days are dedicated for tshuva. So the Ramah quotes a very interesting Rabbeinu Yoyin and says that in Naseh Hashem Yitshuva, which is the time where a person is mefashpish b'masa, which means that a person does soul searching, checking back basically to find out, to try to right all the wrongs. So the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Yoyin saying that yesh l'chol adam, he says, lechapes, to search, lefashpish b'masa, right? A person should be searching and investigating his actions, v'loshuv mehem, maser shemechuva. And then the Ramah says, sofik avera, a doubtful avera, sorach yosu churim avera v'adoyis. But there, we tend to think that a definite avera definitely needs tshuva. A sofik avera, maybe yes, maybe no. After all, it's doubtful, it's a sofik. The Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Yoyin that in Aser Shemetshuva, and that's not just a rumor Aser Shemetshuva, but Aser Shemetshuva is specifically designated for tshuva more than any other time of the year. The idea that a sofik avera needs more tshuva than a vada avera. Why? And Ramah says quite simply, quoting Rabbeinu Yoyin, ki yoyse mischare, because a person by nature has more charote, in other words, a person realizes that he did an avera, so he has charote. On a sofik avera, but therefore he doesn't have charote. Therefore, it's important that a person, when he has a sofik avera, he should realize on the tzad that he might have done an avera. On the tzad, he's not going to do proper tshuva, but maybe he did do an avera. And by nature, a person takes the risk of saying, probably not. So therefore the halacha demands and mandates that a sofik avera has to have even more greater tshuva than a vada avera. And he brings a very interesting raya from a halacha. We know that a person, right, mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, right? You have to bring a korban chatos. What does it mean mechal Shabbos b'shoigig? Not intentional. If you do it b'mezid, there's no chatos. B'shoigig, not intentional, unwittingly. It's mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, you bring a chatos. That korban, the Torah did not give any specific value. In other words, it doesn't make a difference. It's a behemah, right? Could be either a female sheep or a female goat. That's what it is, a chatos. So in other words, it doesn't make a difference what the value is. You can buy it very cheaply. It doesn't make a difference. There's another case where you bring a korban, and that is when a person is not clear if he was machal Shabbos on a definite way. Or, for example, he ate something that might be an issa koras, for example, chalef. Chalef, certain fats in an animal, is an issa derais, you're not allowed to eat. That's why you traber, you know, all the fats in the animals. Because not all chalef, by the way, that we traber is issa derais. Some are chalef only midrabonah. But chalef derais is an issa koras. Is an issa koras. So the halach is, if someone is not sure, he ate some fat, and after he ate it, maybe it was chalef, maybe it was not chalef, you have to bring what's called an oshem tolui. It's called like a suspended carbon. Because if you find out later that it was chalef, then you have to bring a chatos again. But in the meantime, you bring what's called an oshem tolui. That oshem tolui, there's a minimum value, it has to be worth 2 sloim. Why? Oshem tolui has to be worth more than a chatos. A chatos is on a definite avera. And Rosh Hashanah is only on the Sofik. That's good for the verse, says Rabbeinu Yoina. Because when it comes to a definite Avera, it's granted that you're going to do Tshuva, you're going to do Tshuva hopefully properly, because you recognize you did an Avera. A Sofik Avera, people tend to dismiss. Therefore, it's important, you need more encouragement to do a proper Tshuva when it comes to a Sofik Avera. So therefore, the Ramah says, the Naser Shemi Tshuva and Hilchis, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you have to do more Tshuva on a Sofik Avera, he says, than on a Vaday Avera. That's one Rabbeinu Yoina. There's another very fascinating Rabbeinu Yoina. You know, every Motzei Shabbos, right, we smell besamim, we make a bracha. We make a bracha, what is the bracha? We say, Bairi Mine besamim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, it depends what you're smelling, what type of spices you're smelling. So it's a Meresh Tezayin, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that if a person, let's say, smells a piece of wood that is very pleasant smelling, that has a reyach, then the bracha is Atzei besamim. Bairi Atzei besamim. So let's say a particular tree that has a pleasant smell, the bracha is bayra atzei besamim. And what happens if you vimhoya asev, if you're smelling a plant that has a very good smell, what's the bracha? Isbei besamim. Isbei besamim. Says the Shulchan Aruch. And what about loy min eitz v'loy min asev? If it's not a tree and it's not a plant, what bracha do you make when you smell it? Bayra minei besamim. So now the Shulchan Aruch, one of the Shurim here, if you were here in the morning Kailo, a few months ago, the Shulchan Aruch gives an example. What type of a besamim is it? That's not a min eitz, it's not from a tree. Neither is it from a plant. So the Shulchan Aruch says, kemoy ha-musk. Musk. What is musk, Rabbi Isai? What is musk? So here it becomes a very, very fascinating thing. So, you open up a Rosh in Masechtas Brachos, the Rosh in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Mem Gimel, and say, you know what musk is? Musk is blood, ha-miskabez begoren ha-chayah. There's an animal that has a sort of a swelling, and in that swelling on its neck, because blood is collected, there's blood that basically is collected in that area, and therefore you have that swelling, you have that lump on its neck, which is blood. And the Meshech Hazman, the Meshech Hazman is mishapech, it becomes transformed, and it becomes something that's called musk, and it has a very, very sweet smell. By the way, there's something today also, musk is a perfume. Yeah. Musk, and by the way, the musk perfume, there's also a deer, musk deer. And the musk deer is a deer, you know, that's trapped, and actually they use and they make besamim out of it. That's a very expensive type of a perfume. But you see, the name musk goes back to see how far it was brought down in the Rush, you know, going back to medieval times. Very, very long time, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So you have this blood, that's in the animal, but that blood becomes transformed after a while, just like food becomes digested in the stomach, this blood in that area becomes transformed to produce the smelling of the summit. So interesting thing, so the Rosh brings down that Rabbeinu Yoina says, right, actually the Machlokes Rabbeinu Yoina and the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor's opinion is that also lo oichloi mishum dam. You can't eat it. You can smell it, and when you smell it, you make bayra mina besamim. But you can't eat it. You know what? It comes from blood. It comes from blood. You can't eat it. Blood is also bachila. Here comes the chiddush. I'm quoting the Rosh. Rabbeinu Yoina is now kosher, and Rabbeinu Yoina now says the efshel loyma is a shemuter. You can even eat it also. Why? Because in its present state, pir shebialmu, it's like waste. The alpha pishu betchilo yadam, even though the beginning it was blood, he says, Bosa hashtazin, we look at now. Maybe it started out as blood, but it has become transformed, and therefore we look at the now. Now it's not blood anymore. There's a big chiddush of Rabbeinu Yoina. But Amor doesn't agree with that, because it comes from blood. It is blood, the ingredients is blood. However, it became transformed, is also to eat it. But Rabbeinu Yoina says, we don't go Bosa mi'ikor, we go Bosa hashtazin, we go now. What is it now? Now he says, it's a besamim. And even though it came from blood, you're even allowed to eat it as well. And Rabbeinu Yoina's famous raya is, what the raya he says, from dvash, from honey. Rabbeinu Yoina says an incredible thing. Honey, he says, has incredible properties, shita Rabbeinu Yoina, that if a dover is, if a piece of chazer, the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Yoina, saving time and not mentioning. But he says the Rosh, nimnotel chatiches isa l'tach advash. If a piece of chazer or a dover isa falls into honey, and you leave it there for a long time, eventually b'meshech hazman, it becomes transformed and becomes like honey, takes on the problem, and you're allowed to eat it. After the felon. So even though it started out as a davar iser, but that is the koyach of dvash. As a matter of fact, Shulchan Aruch brings down in Yerudeya, the place coming down. Today, you know, we have the professional ways of how to produce honey. Of course, it always comes from bees, but in order to extract it, to do it, and to manufacture it, and we sift it properly, we clean it properly. But in old days, when they had honey many, many times, you know, when you came home, you know, and the beekeeper, you know, took the honeycomb, you know, and extracted all the honey, and so on and so forth, you came home many times, you found legs of bees in the honey. Legs of bees, raglei hadvarim. The poskim say b'shem Rabbeinu Yoina that if you want to eat it, the raglei hadvarim amutar b'achila. Why? Because they were bitten the honey for so long, they become transformed in the eyes of Halacha. They take on the characteristics of dvash. That's another psak. That's another psak of Rabbeinu Yoina. So here you see something. Even though it starts out, by the way, the poskim use that. The poskim use that if you have no choice. Sometimes non-kosher medicines. Because non-kosher medicine, maybe they come from non-kosher ingredients, but they have been transformed and they have been chemically, right, changed. So at the end of the day, right, it looks far different than when it started out from. So even though maybe the original, the sources of those ingredients, right, were non-kosher ingredients, but Meshach HaZman, as they produce it in the process, then they changed, the process came. And then maybe according to Ben Yoni, we go Baza Hashtag. We don't look where it came from. It came from a Dover Isser, but we're now. And this is brought down in quite a number of places of this 3DH. Stitzeliezer brings it down as well, and this is all the Chiddush of Ben Yoineh. So homiletically, our Pidruzi used to say that maybe that's the reason when it comes to Rosh Hashanah night, is the Yom Adin, and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow will look at our good side, and the other side basically, you know, should not really be, should not have any serious side effects, you know, in our future life. So what do we do as a good simon? We dip an apple into honey. Why do we dip an apple into honey? Because honey has the properties to change no matter what you put into it to make it good. So hopefully our averus, right? Our averus, maybe they used to be no good, but the koyach of dvash, the koyach of honey is something that's able to transform and to change that which was one way, but the koyach of dvash used to be mahafachit and to turn it all into toiv. In any case, that is one of the well-known great chidushim of Rabbeinu Yoin. We'll mention just one more because we have to start with the sefer, and that is, there's even a nigun made on that pasuk. You know, many, many psukim and tehillim, you take for nigunim, they're almost running out, you know, from psukim. So there's a pasuk, you know, in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes. The Ramelech says, Palgi Mayim Yordu Einai, Aloi Shomru Toirosecho. Let's translate the pasuk. Palgi Mayim Yordu Einai, my eyes shed streams of tears. Not stam. The Ramelech says, my eyes welled up with tears and they were flowing. Palgi Mayim means streams of tears. Yordu Einai. Why did I cry? Why did my eyes cry? Why did I cry? Aloi shomru toirasecho. Simply meaning is, why? Because I was not, Dovra Melech indicts himself. He was not sharing the Torah enough. What is he doing tshuva? He's crying for his averus. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Paul gimayim yordu einai. My eyes, right, have shed streams of tears. Aloi shomru toirasecho. Here comes a rishon like Rabbeinu Yoineh. The pasuk does not say, Lo shamati, that I did not keep the Torah. Dovra Melech didn't say that. Let's read again, if you know a little bit of Hebrew. Paul gemayim yodo enai, my eyes shed tears, why? Aloi shomru, they, the eyes, did not keep. In other words, Ben Yoina says, the eyes, if you don't have proper shemiras enayim, is going to lead to very serious averus. It starts with looking at things that you may not be supposed to looking at, and it seems to be an innocent thing, I just looked. But the truth is, one thing just leads to another, and maybe it could lead to very serious averus. That's actually the pasuk of the Surah Achra Levavchem Vakranechem. So Dovra Melech really was not crying about the actual averus, but about the siba, the cause that brought him to averus. So Paul Gimayim Yodo Enai, what? That is the end result. And the siba, the cause. What was the cause? Lo Shomru, the eyes did not keep the Torah. The eyes should have been better protected. The eyes would have been focused on Rosh Hashanah. The Melech Dovra Melech says one thing would not have led to another. So here's another insight that we have from Rabbeinu Yoina looking at the pasuk. Paul Gimayim Yodo Enai Shomru Toirasecho. So go on, boys, we continue now, Rabbeinu Yoina. If you have it in your editions here, I think it should be Daf Chof Beis, I believe. It's Yud Dalet, Perek Yud Dalet. Rabbeinu Yoina, Perek Yudalit, or Oys Yudalit on the side. Shari Avoida. Okay, Dav Chol Beis. It's Yudalit. Rabbeinu Yoina, you see here sort of like a Hemshech. You see basically sort of like a Hemshech from what was a Hemshech from what he discussed in the previous, what was discussed actually in the previous segment that we learned regarding the in the sign of the Akedah, between Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. So Ben Yoni goes on now and he elaborates a little bit more, a little bit further, and he says, "Va'oisa Amokim," the Akedah took place, okay? "Va'oisa Amokim," that place, means the Akedah took place that was called Har Moriah. Which if Umokim Amigdash, that's the same location on which the Beis Amigdash stood, of course, many years later. So that was the place where the Akedah, the Nesod of the Akedah took place. That is the Mokim Amigdash. And that is Mokim HaNivchal LaAvoidis HaKorbonis LaAvoidis HaTzilah. In other words, that's the choicest of all places. That is the choice of the places for both Korbonis and for Tzilah. As a matter of fact, no matter where in the world the person lives, no matter where you're davening, where you're davening for, towards, we're davening towards Yerushalayim. What? More correctly, not just to Yerushalayim, towards the Mokem HaMikdash. And basically the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that all the tillers, before they go up to Shemayim, right, they make their way first to the Mokem HaMikdash, and from the Mokem HaMikdash they go up to Shemayim. It's like Yaakov Avinu said, right? Ein zeh kibbeis elokim v'zeh shaar haShemayim. This is the gates of Shemayim. So this is what Ben-Yoni is telling us. This is the Mokem HaNibcha. This is the choicest of places. L'Avodis HaKorbonis, where the Korbonis, the service of the Korbonis took place. And Avodis HaTzilah. Furthermore, he says also that V'Sham Hoidiyah Hashem Yisborach Inyin HaKorb MaVatzilah. It is also, that's the place where Hashem made known. That's the place where Hashem revealed the significance of Korbonis and Tefillah. All the areas, no matter where we daven, where Hashem revealed really the significance of Korb and Tefillah, everything stems from there. Everything stems from Har HaMoriah, which is the Mokem HaMikdash, which began with what? Began with the Akedah between Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. Now, it's something very fascinating to behold, if you think for a moment. There are two mountains, right, in our history that mean something. In Jewish history. What are the two mountains? One is Har HaMoriah, and the other one is Har Sinai. Right? All the other mountains doesn't make much of a difference. Two mountains that have significance forever in our history. Har HaMoriah, the place of the Akedah, and Har Sinai, which is the place of Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah. Yet, you mark the distinction between the two. This is something that Rabbi Lapian, the great Bala Musar, his observation. Har Sinai, realize, as great as the event, the greatest event ever, right? Receiving the Torah. The whole purpose of Bria Soil was Kabbalah Satorah. That event, that Ma'amad HaNivchar, right? That of Matan Torah with Har Sinai. The moment that Kabbalah Satorah was finished, Har Sinai has no Kedusha. Hasiyah has no Kedusha. It was the holiest place at the time, during the time of Matan Torah. Hashem, Hashem himself came down to Har Sinai. Rashi says not only that. Rashi says that Kribohu lowered the Shemaim. Rashi says Hirchin is a Shemaim. Kribohu lowered the Shemaim all the way from the heaven, from all the way up there, came down to Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the holiest place that one could imagine. It was heavenly, literally, because heaven and Har Sinai, they joined sort of together. And yet, after Matan Torah, Har Sinai, because anybody who would go on Har Sinai after Matan Torah, no problem, you can do whatever you want over there. Nothing. There's no Roshim of Kedusha left. Har HaMoriah, the place of Avraham Avinu, where the Akedah took place, that became the Mokem HaMikdash. The Har HaBayis has Kedusha forever. Forever! Why is that so? Har Sinai, the place where the Torah was given, has no Kedusha. There's no Roshim of Kedusha. Rabbi Pian says, you know why? Because Har Sinai was not man-made Kedusha, was not Kedusha through our own efforts. It is a Kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by coming down and giving the Torah, but we did not do anything for that. There's no effort, there's no human effort. There's no human agency involved in creating that Kedusha. Therefore, Hashem no son, Hashem lo kach. Hashem gave the kedusha and He took it away. Yavan Hara Maria's man-made kedusha from Avinu went and did tremendous mesiras nefesh, going and doing the greatest test of all time, being ready to shach Yitzchok. The kedusha of Hara Maria was generated by human effort. Human effort, where man himself creates kedusha, because Baruch Hu gave that particular, right, special chashivas, and the kedusha never. We still have to this day. It was a kedusha l'shayna, kedusha l'shato, kedusha l'osalovoy. B'cholay from Hamaria always remained, and Bez Hashem soon will be the place again for the Binyan Beis Hashlishi. That's the place. Why? Because that became discouraged with the efforts of man. That is the chashivas of Kodesh Baruch Hu recognized the avodas ha'odom. To really understand the chashiva avodas ha'odom. So go to Ben Yoyah further, and he says, V'hoidia, Hashem made it known, Shavron v'Yitzchok hisigu ba'avodas ha'bayir yizborach. Kodesh Baruch Hu made known the great madrega of Avram and Yitzchok. Through the Akedo, HaKodesh Baruch Hu made known that Avram and Yitzchok hisigu ba'avodas ha'bayir yizborach, that they reached ad ha'mayla ho'yoyna. They reached the highest level of service to Hashem. They reached, why? Because of Avraham and Yitzchak served HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, which means out of the epitome, B'kseo Elyon, on the highest level ever. Which means to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made known through the experience of the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made known that through the abundant love that Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak had to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tremendous ahava that Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak had to Kodesh Baruch Hu, they reached the epitome of Avodas Hashem. You can't go higher than they. They reached the epitome. The epitome of Avodas Hashem is to serve Hashem with ahava to the extent that he was ready even to sacrifice his own son Yitzchak. Which means that Avraham and Yitzchak reached the Mayel HaYoyna, the Ksei HaYoyna, the epitome. Right? The epitome of Avodas Hashem, because they were Avodas Mehava on the highest level. As he goes on to explain, the Avodah of Avraham and Yitzchak was not for any ulterior motive. Oh, I'm going to do such a great thing. Imagine my chelik in Gan Eden will be immeasurable. No, that was not the kavana. You can be sure the schar is immeasurable, but that's not why they did it. The schar is something bli erich and bli gvul. There's no way to measure the tremendous schar that Avraham and Yitzchak would be getting for this, but that's not the reason that they did it. They did not serve Hashem for reward, nor of loyal kavonas hinotzul menoynish, nor did they serve Hashem to be spared from any type of punishment if they don't do it. But the reason they served Hashem at this high level, because they recognized the greatness of Hashem. They recognized the true greatness of Hashem and His roimimus, His exaltedness. Recognizing the godliness of Hashem, that was the sole motivating factor. Recognize the true godliness of Hashem, that generated within them the tremendous ahava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what was the driving force. What did they recognize? The godliness of Hashem. They recognized the godliness of Hashem, Shehu Himtzi Kol HaNevroim, that He alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the source of all existence. They recognized that, which at that time was something very unique, because the world at large did not recognize it. All the paganism and all the... So they recognized Shehu Himtzi Kol HaNevroim. That's what it means, that Avraham and Yitzchak, they recognized Gadlusa, they recognized the godliness of Hashem, because they recognized Shehu Himtzi Kol HaNevroim. They recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is the source of all existence, for who ordered HaKoil, and Hashem is the master over all. And Amela, therefore, being that Hashem is the master over all, He is the source of all existence, so therefore they understood that royal lasses with Soinoi, and therefore they understood that we should execute His will, to love the Mehava, and to serve Hashem out of love. Vizuhi tachlis avoide. This is the ultimate motive for serving Hashem. The ultimate motive for serving Hashem is Ahava. Not out of any yira, because out of a fear of punishment, if I don't do it, I'll have Gehenna or all of that. Or the positive side. Or because if I do the mitzvahs, I'm going to get a lot of schar. But the ultimate motive, the tachlis avoide, the ultimate motive in serving Hashem, is to serve Hashem mi Ahava. And you can realize that the schar is all that much more also, by the way. Serving Hashem not because of schar, the schar is all that much greater. But schar kofu umchupu, the schar therefore would be even much greater exponentially greater when a person serves Hashem Me'ahava. However, says Rabbi Yoina, on the flip side, Av mi she'oved, but one who serves Hashem lekavonas kabolas char, it's also acceptable, but that's not the real tachlis. Av mi she'oved lekavonas kabolas char, one who serves Hashem with the intent of receiving a reward, or maybe meiras oynish, or he's serving Hashem because of fear of punishment, he says loyla odin ho'oved, he's not really serving a master, he's serving himself, because what he's doing is for self-interest. So in a certain sense, he's not serving his master to do the bidding of his master. Yes, he's doing the bidding of his master for himself, to serve himself. So therefore, loy lo odin ho even. In that sense, he's not serving his master, but rather he's serving himself. Okay, therefore, ein avodosu shleima. Therefore, it is not an ultimate service. Serving Hashem l'shem schar, serving Hashem because of yiras ha'oinish, it's not an avoda shleima, atche yaved mahav, until he does it out of ahava, out of love for Hashem. It's not a simple madriga at all to reach. You realize we're pointing out the greatness of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. But Kaponim, that is a goal to strive to reach as much close as possible to serve Hashem out of ahava, not mikoyach, he says, either because of kabbalah schar or because of yiras ha'oinish. Now, there's a famous story that is told about, the same story, similar story about the Rav Yitzchak Ba'adikshev and also about the Vilna Goyim. Today, again, we are blessed in so many ways. And Baruch Hashem, not only the fact that the lifestyle that we lead certainly is a higher level, you know, that the way Yidden used to live in Europe, of course, here in America, Baruch Hashem. And so many things, everything. There's no problem. I remember even when going to Cheder, you know, in the 50s, you know, in the Gemara, starting Haskalah's Gemara, I mean, I remember the bad print of the Gemara. I mean, you think I'm talking about before the war. I mean, yellow paper, and to get a safer, it was very difficult. Many svarim. My father brought hundreds of svarim from Europe. Shalda Chuva svarim, containers. He came to, in 1950, came to Canada, but he brought up containers of svarim. What happened was, after the war, Mamish svarim were hefker. All the kehillas, Kedin survivors that came back, they wanted to see if there's anything left in their own town. Whatever kehilla they came from, the first step was to try to see if then they saw Nebuchadnezzar, there was nothing. Some kehillas rebuilt themselves for a year or two, but they saw there's no future. Then they emigrated to America, Canada, Israel, all the different places. They stayed for a year or two, trying to see if something can be made, because of course, this is our home, this is where we grew up. But then they saw there's no future. The point was that if you came back after the war, the kehillas were abandoned, mamish, orphaned, but you have svarim strewn all over the place, mamish hefker. So most people, what they do, nothing, nothing. Maybe they have a little bit of feeling, you know, they collect the svarim, you know, and put it, they shouldn't be just lying around, and put it in a room, put it in a place, and put it in the shul, whatever that was left of any shul there was. My father collected them. He collected them. And literally hundreds of svarim. I have a tremendous library. Some of the svarim I have still to this day, I have quite a bit. It is from him. It's an old svarim. But you know what? Today's not a big deal. They've all been reprinted. So in the early 50s, there was a Choshev Rav in Toronto who was writing svarim, very well known. His name is Rabbi Felder, well known name. It was a svarim called, many chalakim called the Yisoid Yeshurim. He himself had a little bit of a library, but many svarim he didn't have. So he came to my father and said, maybe he'll sell him this safer, sell him. I said, I'm not selling you anything. If you want, I'll lend it to you. And God have it. It was not Shaykh. So I'm delighted that among the things that were blessed by Hashem, not only the Shas has been translated, you know, the Chumash has been translated, Tanakh and everything like that, Mishnayos, but the situation we have today is, there's no problem of getting a lulav and an esrog. No problem. And again, that is, you realize that today we can't imagine, but years gone by, that was a big deal. Because you can have a kehillah, the expression goes, right? Ganz cool bench to find esrog. You know what that expression is. There was one esrog in a lulav. You have people come to shul, stand in line. Stand in line, and everybody benched on the same esrog. Each one gave it the matana to the other, because, you know, the first 2 days you have to be shaloi. This was it. Matana malat ha'arze. You know, you gave it and you gave it further. This is the way it went. So in the time of the Vilna Goyim, especially, you can imagine, it was a very difficult thing to get an esrog. Didn't have an esrog, so the people tried to the last minute to try to get an esrog from somewhere, from a different town, to import one or whatever. They worried about that weeks in advance. There was no esrog to be gotten. A yid was passing through Vilna, who happened to have a lulav and an esrog. Dalud minim. So when they heard about it, so right away the first thing is to buy it often, to give it to the goyim. You can imagine the goyim will let him use it, but the goyim, the Vilna goyim, the greatest goyim of all time, should be able to use it. So the man said, No, it's not for sale. Rule of an Esri. What's your price? Name your price. No matter, we'll give it to you. No, no matter, he's not selling it. So finally, they pushed him against the wall. They said, well, what can we give you that you should agree that we should be able to give the lulav to the Vilna Goyen? And he goes and he says, the man says, there's one thing that I want from the Vilna Goyen. It's not money. What I want is, I will agree to give the lulav and esrog to the Vilna Goyen. What I want is the schar of mitzvah lulav that the Goyen is going to get from lulav. I want that schar. I want that Gan Eden. I want the Gan Eden. Which means I'm giving the lulav and esrog to the Goyen, but the schar Gan Eden for that mitzvah, I want it. The Goyen should promise me that I'm going to get it. And they, without the Goyen's knowledge, they made the agreement. And Kachavi, he gave with the esrog. But then now with trepidation, you know, they went to the Goyen and they bought the Yeshua. Goyen was very happy, but then they said, but Rebbe, there's a price. And the price is, we took away your Gan Eden of this mitzvah. We took away this Chai and Olam Haba from this mitzvah. And the Goyen was elated with tremendous simcha, he says. All my life, he says, I was trying to reach a madrega that when I do a mitzvah, it should not be l'shem kabbalah schar. It's very difficult. I know I am going to get schar. But now that the schar was taken away by force, that's the highest level of doing a mitzvah. Not Hashem, just the opposite. This is the Maltrege. This is called being Oyver Hashem Me'ahava. This is what Rabbi Yoyna here is talking about. So go down further, says Rabbi Yoyna, Umipnei. Shavon the Yitzchok Oyver Me'ahava, he says, Laboy Rom. Since Avraham Yitzchok served Hashem out of love, so Hashem, they did not question when Hashem said, like we learned last time, when Hashem said to go Shech Yitzchak, they didn't question. How's it possible? After all, you promised. You promised Kibi Yitzchak, you called Chazera. Avraham Avinu could have asked the ultimate question. You are going to promise me I'm going to have a legacy through Yitzchak. Now you tell me to Shech them. We've been a kasher. But being that they served Hashem out of Ahava, they were not Maharer. They did not question Hashem's request. Lishoil, Mazev al Mazev. And what's going to be with the promises? You promised that I'm going to have a legacy through Yitzchak. Now tell me to shech them. It's a contradiction against your promise. Avraham Avinu didn't. No questions, because he served Hashem Rav Ahava. Ach, he said. Instead of asking questions, Gomru Belibam. Right. Instead, he said they confirmed and they decided. Lavad is Beram to serve the Creator b'chol avavam, b'chol nafsham, b'chol moedam with all of their possessions. The Afki Tzalehem. Now look what he says. The Afki Tzalehem Hamaisa Hu Ma'oid Ma'oid. Look what Ben Yoni says. See, in Sifra Chassidus, you know, they want to say Avraham Avinu does not admit b'simcha. You know, they have this whole thing. Ben Yoni says, no, Avraham Avinu, it wasn't an easy thing. And Avraham Avinu, he said, Tzalehem Hamaisa, it was an extremely difficult undertaking. Look at the next phrase, an unbelievable phrase. Ki kosher hoy al Avram shchitis benoi yaiser mishchitis atzmoi. It would have been easier for Avram if Hashem said shecht yourself than shecht your son. Listen, here was what you're saying. Fascinating thing. The Nisoyin was of Avraham Avinu should shecht Yitzchak. So Rabbeinu Yoyne, it was a difficult undertaking. It would have been easier had Hashem said take your own life for me than shecht Yitzchak. It's harder for a father to shecht his own son than to take his own life. He says, but Avraham Avinu b'chol oifen, right, a difficult undertaking, a father should do this to a son. He did not question why, because the avodah was me'ahava. So he goes, continue now, just the next few lines. Meshav al-Chazal, as Chazal had said, after Avraham Avinu passed the test, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now we see that you're a Shemaim, you're a Elohim, because lo chasachto zbincho, you did not withhold your son. Okay, so now, listen, it says two things, lo chasachto zbincho, es yechidcho. If it already said it's bincho, it means Yitzchak, right? So what does it say again, it's yechidcho? You're only one. It already said it's bincho. So Chazal say, again, it says, lo chasachto es bincho, you did not withhold your son, hare Yitzchak omer, right? That means Yitzchak. So Amana Mikayim, so why does it say further, es yechidcho? You're one and only. The word yechido in the world of Kabbalah means neshama. Because the neshama is the essence, the yochid, the oneness, right, of a person. The oneness of a person and the essence of a person is in the neshama, which means the word, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, there's two things that you really gave me. Two things you gave me. Number one, l'chesachta is b'nechod, you're not withhold your son, and also z'chitcha, your own neshama. What does that mean? Say Chazal, he quotes the Chazal, say Tanchuma, Medrash Tanchuma. Lama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gol of Yidu Elif to me, Lefonai. Because Baruch Hu says it's very clear to me, Shema Marti L'Avrom, Tenli Nishmoscha, had the test been of a different color. Give me your own neshama. Give me your own neshama. Say Baruch Hu, it's clear to me, Kloima, that I would have said to him, Shechoy Tesatzimacho, Shech yourself, Shlohoy Ma'akif. So now Vahareni Malo Lecho Akilu Shechatoto Sasmacho. So now Avraham Avinu gets credit for two things. He gets credit not only for the Nesoyin being ready to Shecht Yitzchok, but he also gets credit for Shechting Ki'ilu Shechted. That's what that's Yechitcho mean. Yechitcho means your Neshomo. Sha Neshomo Keruya Yechido. You see what Ben Yehuda says? The Neshomo is called Yechido, an only one. Shenemar, there's a Posek in Tehillim. The Ramelech says, Miyad Kelev Yechidosi. That Posek in Tehillim begins like this. The Ramelech says, Hatzilo Mecherev Nafshi. Miyad Kelev Yechidosi, which means, Hatzilo Mecherev Nafshi. The Ramelech has a lot of enemies. There are a lot of enemies. Some enemies he described as enemies that are going against him with a sword. Some enemies he described like being attacked by wild dogs. Kibiyochel, being attacked. So he says, Hatzilo mecheret nafshi. Right? Save my nefesh from mecheret, from the sword of my enemies. And then he says, Miyat kelev yechidosi. Rescue my soul, right? From the grip, right? Rescue my soul, yechidosi, miyat kelev. From the kelev. From the grips of the dog. In other words, Avraham Avinu was concerned that the fact is that he has all these enemies that are against him, that his neshama should not become tainted by being involved with all the tumah that is all being surrounded him, but all the various enemies. So he said, therefore, allow my yechidosi to be saved. Hatzilo mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yechidosi my neshama. Akbon, the word yechidosi means neshama, but Ben Yehuda says that's what it means. V'chesachta es bincho es yechidcho. Two things. You did not withhold your son from me, but also your neshama, because I know for sure that you would have given me your own neshama too. As a matter of fact, you said a moment ago, what did he say? That's easier to give your own neshama is than to take a life of a child. So this was the tremendous koyach of Avinu and Yitzchak. So Bazoi Rabbi says, I want to show you here, let's take a look on the sheet. I think our time is moved on like this. Let's take a look. Always come with a lot of sheets, we're always optimistic here. What we're going to look at is here on the words of Rabbeinu Yoyne, but we bring Rabbeinu Bechaya. On the words of Rabbeinu Yoyne, the Shara Avodah, the first item, Ki kosher hoya l'avrom shchitas benoi, right, he said, Yoyser mishchitas asamoi. That's what Rabbeinu Yoyne said. Now, you know, in the world of Rishayinim, there are many Rishayinim. You have Rabbeinu Yoyne, you have Rambam, you have Rashi, you have Ramban. Right, one of the great Mefarshim, of course, in the Torah, Mefarshim HaTorah, is Rabbeinu. We have Rabbeinu Bechaya. Or as others say, Rabbeinu Bachya. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya was from Sfarad, was from Spain, and he was Nifter in 1340. Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Osher. So he was in the 1300s, actually it was in the late 1200s, into the 1300s, as we said, he was Nifter in 1340. And he was a Talmud of the Rajba. The Rajba lived in Barcelona, Chief Rabbi Barcelona. So Rabbeinu Bechaya was a Talmud of the Rajba, and he devoted himself completely to the study of Torah and to writing. And Rabbeinu Bechaya, our Torah, happens to be an encyclopedic work. It's an encyclopedic work. It's a commentary on the Medrash and on all the Torah all over, and something which is very, very popular. And many places, by the way, he expounds according to the writings of Rabbeinu Yoyne as well. Rabbeinu Bechaya expounds on the writings of Rabbeinu Yoyne. He brings Rabbeinu Hanan, he brings the Eben Ezra, he brings Dan Rashi, of course, and so on and so forth, and the Rambam, and so on. He also draws on Kabbalistic sources as well. So in any case, let's take a look at some words here. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he said the following. Listen to what he says. Who had a bigger Nisayan? Avram to Shecht Yitzchak, or Yitzchak to be Shechted? Yitzchak was not a baby. Yitzchak was 37 years old. He could have said, no, father. No. Avraham Avinu says yes, and he said, no, find another carbon. So who is greater? Ramaisa both agreed to do it. Both agreed. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, V'rabim Yishalu. There are many, many, he says, ask a question, Eze Men Godel. Many ask a question, he says, who is greater? Right? Many ask a question, in fact, who is greater? They ask the Shaila. So they ask the Shaila, who is greater? ומי משניהם הגדל עשויס? אם אברהם הבולשכת את בנוי ובאסם הביודון, was Avram greater because he with his hands ejecting Yitzchak? או Yitzchak המפקיר עצמו להישוחת? או Yitzchak that is giving his life to be shechted? Right, both are doing something which is tremendously difficult. Who is the bigger Nisoyan? And Rabbi Mechaya tells us that in his day, to a difference of opinion. And when he's talking about opinion, he's not talking about people around the breakfast table, he's talking about Rishayim. There were great people who had different views. And here are the two views. There are views they held of Omavinu, Nisoyan was greater. There were some that felt even Yitzchak. Let's take a look. Yesh Yamru, there were some that said that God will koyche Yeshua Avram Yosef Yitzchak. That Rav Avinu is koyach, Rav Avinu is the Soyan, that is greater than Yitzchak. That is greater. Why? So he points out, because Lefisha Mafkir Atzmoy Lehorek, Nokel Huma Oy Meno Av Shebo Lishchot is Benoy Biyodov. Because some of Rav Avinu is the Soyan is greater, because you're asking him to kill, right, to shecht his own son, whereas Yitzchak would be giving his own life. That's greater, because it's harder to shecht a child. Im loy toimer kein, and they wanted to bring a raya, because otherwise, lomot siva ha-kodesh baruch hu l'avrom lishchot es benoy b'yodov, yitzaveyu l'harig es atzmo. In other words, if it's a greater nisoyin to give your own life, then why did Hashem test Avram, shecht Yitzchak? Let Hashem say to Avram, shecht yourself! Hashem did not ask Avram to shecht himself, to shecht Yitzchak. That must be the greater nisoyin. Because to give your own life, as great, as difficult as it is not as difficult as to ask him to shecht a child. This is the Yesh Yomrim. This is the first opinion. And then he brings down further. So El Bavada is a raya ki Godel Koyche Shal Avram Yosef Yitzchak. The Yesh Mishoma, and there's others that said Godel Koyche Shal Yitzchak. Yitzchak is greater. Lefi Shal Avram, for a different reason. You see, let's understand something. Who told Avram to shecht Yitzchak? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who told Yitzchak to give his life? Avram. Yitzchak didn't hear it from Hashem. He didn't hear it from Avram. He could have thought, Tate, maybe you're hallucinating. Maybe, what did you eat? What did you drink? What did you have for supper last night? You're telling me that I should be shechted? So Avraham Avinu, what he's doing because he heard from Hashem. But Yitzchak, on the other hand, only heard from Avraham. And yet Yitzchak accepted from Avraham. That's a greater Nisoyan. That's another way of looking at it. Let's take a look. V'yesh Roma Godu Koyche Shol Yitzchak Kofish Avraham Nitzavah B'zeh Mipi Hashem V'zeh Nitzavah Mipi Yomit. For the kach God will koyach emunoso shel Yitzchak. So the emunah that Yitzchak has is on a high level. And the truth is, the Chassam Sofer has a big tshuva. Chassam Sofer has a big tshuva in Chelek HaRachayim, Nesim Rechkes, and also Chassam Sofer al HaTorah. Chassam Sofer says, if you want to describe the difference between Avraham Avinu's role and Yitzchak's role, you see, Avraham Avinu heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Torah Shebiksav. Right? Somebody opens a chumash and you read what's written. Right? Torah Shebiksav. Avraham Avinu heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak heard it from who? From Avraham. The Torah Shebapeh. Avraham Avinu was telling him, this is what Hashem said, the Torah Shebapeh. And then as a result, so what's greater? Torah Shebiksav, you know, directly from Hashem. Torah Shebapeh is what the Chachamim were Mechadish, what the Chachamim are adding. So therefore, this is the Yeshua that we're talking about here that Rabbeinu B'chai is bringing. That whole fact is that therefore that Yitzchak's Madreig is greater. Lamai said, what's his own opinion? Rabbeinu B'chai's opinion? Says the Veneri says, my opinion is, Kedas Ho'emer, I take the side that God will Koyche Shal Avraham. That was Avraham Avinu. Why? Shrei Yitzchak, because he says, the truth is, Yitzchak, Ava Pishlo Nitztav Mipi Hashem Yizborach, even though Yitzchak was not told directly by Hashem, he knew his father was a Novi. His father was a prophet. When a prophet says something, it's like the words of Hashem. In other words, a prophet, for lack of a better explanation, when a radio speaks, you know the radio doesn't have a koyach of speaking. It's a person somewhere speaking through the radio. And Novi is Hashem speaking through him. So when a Yitzchak hears from Avraham, he's not just hearing stam from a human being. Avraham Avinu was a Novi. And being that he was a Novi, he says, Yoidei hoya ba'oviv shu Novi v'neschayev l'shmoya mimenu k'mipi Hashem Yizborach sh'ari dvar ha-Novi dvar Hashem hu. When a Novi speaks, that's the word of Hashem. We have a pasuk in Devarim Yudches. If somebody doesn't listen to the words of a Novi, because Baruch says, I will hold him accountable. And as a matter of fact, says Rabbi, says very good, because Rabbi Chai says, according to the other opinion, that what the Yitzchok's Nisoyin was greater, so why was this Avraham Avinu test? Why is this called Avraham Avinu's test? It should be called Yitzchok's test. If Yitzchok's role in the test is greater, why is this considered to be Avraham Avinu's test? It should be called Yitzchok's test. Avraham's chelik was greater. So this is what we have over here. In the idea, again, the Hemshech, and we can understand it, by the way, from Rabbeinu Yoni, you clearly see that which side does he take? But Yoni says it's much more difficult for a person, right, to go Shecht than to Shecht himself. In other words, Yitzchak giving his life, it was not as hard as asking someone to Shecht the child. That was what Yoni said. But Yoni said, right, we had the Lashon before. But Yoni said, Ki kosher hoyel Avraham shchitas benoi yoisem shchitas atzmoi. But had he been asked to do that, he would have done that also. As bincha, as yechidcha. Not only as bincha, but also yechidcha. Your neshama, you would have also given to me. But what's more difficult? Yoisra, yekosh, yeshchit, is benoi. So, ben yoin, clearly, you see which side does he take from a Venus act part in the Akedah. That was on a higher level than on the level of Yitzchak. There's another nekuda over here. There's another nekuda over here which reinforces the sefer called Nesivei Chaim, which brings interesting raya to what Rabbi Yoina was saying, that it's much more difficult for a father to do something against his child than against himself. The raya is from Shmuel and David HaMelech. In Shmuel we find number 2, the second item, sefer Nesivei Chaim, Parshas Bereishis. In sefer Shmuel we find, Shiklag Dome, we know that Avshalom rebelled against his father, David HaMelech. Not only he rebelled, he tried to usurp, to steal the melucha from him, take the melucha away from him. He tried to kill his father. David HaMelech, as a result, had to flee. Mizmalu David, bevorchoy mipnei Avshalom benoi. He wanted to kapitel and tell him. The kapitel and tell him that David HaMelech was saying as he was fleeing from his son. The Gemara asks, Mizmalu David, why is he singing? Mizmor is a mizmor. It should say kinele David. It's a kine. It's a mourning. Right? It's a eulogy, it's an elegy. What's Mizmor? The Gemara gives it to the parents. But Kapodim, right? So you can imagine, here he has, a father has a son who is a Rosha, by all accounts, by all definitions, and that's Tamar Rosha. So let's take a look. In Tanakh we are told, at the end of the day, what happened? The end of the day happens, Avshalom, right, got killed. Avshalom, he was riding on a horse, there's a whole story, he was riding on a horse, and there was branches that were lower, his hair got caught, and the horse went further, and he got caught hanging from the tree. David HaMelech hears that his son is killed. You know what? Okay, I can go back. I don't have to worry. My life, right? It's safe. It's safe. I don't have to look backwards and forwards if my son is lurking behind me to kill me. My son is out of the picture. Right? Should be happy, right? David finds out, David HaMelech finds out that his son Avshalom got killed. David Bocha Olamiyoid. He cried. A father crying for his son. The Omar, not Sam, Moid. And he said, Avshalom b'ni, b'ni, Avshalom b'ni, b'ni, Avshalom. 7 times he said, my son b'ni, 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 b'ni. And Chazal tell us, he said b'ni to schlep him out of Gehenna, 7, all the way deep in Gehenna, to schlep him out 7 times, to schlep him out of Gehenna. The Ramelech said, b'ni, my son Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni. You know what else he said? Can you imagine the next line? Me yiten moisi anitatecho. I would have died to take your place, that you should live. A son of Russia. The attitude of a father. The attitude of a father. He points out, L'chayre, the question. Hoy Avshalom oy mayr b'malchus. Avshalom was a mayr b'malchus, right? He was a traitor. V'chayv misa apidin. Apidin, a traitor, mayr b'malchus, chayv misa. Not only that, Avshalom Goram Sha'oviv Yivrach Mirushalayim. Avshalom was going, his father should have to flee to escape out of Yerushalayim. More things. Now Rosha Shekim Moisoi, and a Rosha like him, he's tired David Ubochal Moisoi. So David is sar, and he cries on the death of such a son. Roy Mono, but what you see from here, Gidoilahi Ahava so Avladain, Shuroisa Bimisoso Yosef Mibisas Benoiva Afshu Rosha. And even though it was a Rosha, the father still tried to save his son and do as much as possible after the death of his son to schlep him out of Gehenna. He started with Mishtad Latziloi Medina Shogehenna. But Omra Sheva for Omin Bini, Look at Rashi al-Asar, he says. Look at Rashi on the spot over there. Ochen. So now, Magedoyla Havas Avlimnoi. You see now how great the Ahav of a father to son. If that's the case, therefore the greatest part was Avraham having to Shecht Yitzchak. Because that's the most difficult thing. Because the Ahava, that is the built-in Ahava that there is, between Ahava to a son, overrides everything. And that's what you see from the Maisa Takav Shmuel. So in many cases, we see that there's difference of opinion regarding the Akedah, you know, who is higher, and so on and so forth. When Rabbeinu Yoina told us that the greatest madrega is to be oivid mi'ahava, and he says, but not if someone is an oivid because of Kabbalah Schar, or if someone is an oivid because of Yiras Oynish, he says, that's not avoided Shalema. Because the highest level of avoid is, it should be Yiras Meroimimis. The Yiras should not be out of punishment. The awe that you have of Kodesh Baruch Hu is out of Hashem's greatness, out of Hashem's godless, out of Hashem's exaltedness. Comes one of the great Balamusar, and that's Rabitzel Petterburger, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Sol Salanter. And he says, listen, I said, we don't have any time, but we're just going to do two lines. But you see, we have here number three, we have a whole Ramchal, which goes down number three in the bottom of the page in four. Ramchal goes on to say, actually, look two lines of Ramchal, look at number three. Tzor Shenagdim, write the Mesil Sisharim here, in Perchot Dalet. Tzor Shenagdim. We have to make Agdome. Kimina Hayira, the two types of Yira. The two types of fear from Hashem. So the two types of Yira. Hem Shnayim. It's two, actually, there are three. We're not going to get into the whole thing. Harishayna, the first one is Kalam Oid Lasiga. The first year is so easy. Look what he said. Look at the next portion. Ein Dover Kal Kamoyu. There's nothing easier than the first year. He'll explain it soon. Lashriya, but the second level, he says Kosher. Skip a line. Yesh Yiras Ha'oinish, there's a Yira that is afraid because of punishment. He says, that is easy. That kind of a Yira is easy, he says. You see what he says? So that's the easy one. The Yesh Yiras Ha'oinimis, then there's the second Yira, not because you're afraid of punishment. The Yira is because you recognize the godless, right, and the greatness of Hashem. Go down to the next paragraph. Yiras Ha'oinish Kipshuta. Yiras Ha'oinish means Kipshuta. What does it mean? Sha'odam Yira is afraid, Ma'avayras Pi Hashem. He's afraid from transgressing the words of Hashem alakob, nipnehu oinshim ashel averis. Sometimes you oinish out to the goof, sometimes to the nefesh. Look what he says. Vinezois kalavadai. This is easy. Ramchal was such a high madrega that if you have Yerushimayim because of Yerus oinish, that's the easy one. One of the greatest balamus, Rabbi Bissel Petterburger, says, always worry about halavai, we would be worried about Yerus oinish. Ramchal said, that's nothing, that's the easy one. The Bechal said again, Ein Dover Kal Kamoyu. Halabai, we should have Yerushimayim, we should be afraid of Gehenna. Halabai, before we do an Aver, we should think about. So the Sophist of the Bishop Petterburger says that before you can reach Yerushimayim, you have to work very, very strongly on Yerushimayim. The Bechal says it's easy, yeah, for him it was easy, but not for us. Look, number five, just a few lines, number five, go to number five on the left side. This is the Koich Ve'oyer, that's Rav Yisrael Petterburger. Haklau, what was easy for the Chachmei HaTalmud, what was easy for the Chachomim of Shas, Etzleinu G'doyles HaMikdoyles, what was easy for them, for us it's Gavali, terribly difficult. What was easy for them, for us it's terribly difficult. Ulam, you have to realize, the emes lo yuchal o odom lifsoya psia gaso. A person cannot jump in one swoop. It's not easy in one swoop to serve Hashem on the highest level. Ahavas hamokoim, to love Hashem, the yiras haroimimis, and the yiras should be because of the godless Hashem, the pamachas. You can't do it right away. Ach mitchile tzorech lahashroish bekirboy, ahavas haschar. Yes, that which Rabbi Yehuda says is not the ultimate. That's not the ultimate, but that's where you got to start. You gotta say yes. You have to say, I'm gonna get a lot of schar. I'm gonna do this mitzvah, I'm gonna get a lot of schar. I do another mitzvah, the schar is immeasurable. And if I do an aveira, yes, be afraid of the onshim. That's how you start. And then you move on to a havas Hashem, then you move on to a yeraimus. That's what he says. Mitchilat tzorach lahashrish bekirboy. You have to have it really within yourself. A havas haschar, the yiras oinish, the limud musar. And then also have to study. To have yiras oinish doesn't come naturally. To have yiras oinish, to really believe there's going to be an oinish, and to be cognizant when you do something, that should guide you. Rethink about the oinish. You have to be involved with it. Achakach la'at la'at, little bit, Yagir Madrega Gdela. So you see, this is the way Avoda, this is the Derech in Avodas Hashem. So let me just conclude, Rabbi Yisai, the shtickle situation. I just want to tell you, concluding with this. And Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, which we mentioned a number of times, he was here talking Shu also, and when the Choshev Magidim, it's as well as the Chayim Lebroch actually, he mentioned about a distinguished looking Yid. The distinguished Yid who came as a Meshulach. You know, he came as a collector. And again, we're talking about Rabbi Yisai. He came to the town where the great God Rador, the Tosis Yontiv, lived. The Tosis Yontiv, Rabbi Yontiv Lipman, if you go to Krakow, that's one of the Kvarim, not far from the cave of the Ramah. The Tosis Yontiv is in Krakow. And the Tosis Yontiv was the chief rabbi of Krakow. He was the successor of the Bach. After the Bach was before him, the Bach's cave is also there in Kruka, in Krakow. And just give you an idea, just some dates. The Tosis Yontiv passed away in 1654, and the Bach a few years earlier. Bach passed away in 1640. So the Bach passed away in 1640, the Tosis Yontiv succeeded him, and the Tosis Yontiv passed away in 1654. So this Maisa took place, we're talking about the 1600s. Maisa came, and Meshulach came, and to the town where the Tosis Yontiv lived, that he's collecting on behalf of the yeshiva of the Bach. Collecting the yeshiva of the Bach. The Bach, who was the god of all this time, he collected my yeshiva. So the Tosis Yontiv, he greeted him warmly, and he said, listen, to help the yeshiva of the great god in the Bach, the Tosis Yontiv says, you know what, I can't just sit by, but I'm going to go with you, to help you, to make sure you're really successful. So Kachavit, so the Rav himself escorted, you know, the Meshulach, and you can imagine they go through the marketplaces, and people were giving significant donations because the Rav was with him, the Rav was going along with him and so on. So after quite an exhausting but a successful day, so the Rav, the Tosis Yontiv, who was the Rav, the Tosis Yontiv, he invites the guest to come to his house for a hot drink. Yeah, sort of like to rest up after the heavy day. So they climbed the stairs to the Rav's home. They climbed the stairs over there, and the Rav walks him to the door, and so on. He gives him a hot drink, and then they were prepared to leave. So Peter leaves, so the Tosis Yontiv goes and opens the door. But as a kovid, so the Meshulach said to the Tosis Yontiv, he says, no, the Rav should go first, as a kovid. Tosis Yontiv went first. The moment he went out the door, he locks the door behind him and bolts it shut, locking the guest in the house, not letting him leave. Not letting him leave. So Yankel Galinsky many years ago told this story. So he says, you can imagine, so he began to bang and he began to scream. He said, he's locked, like in a prison. And you can imagine, meanwhile, a crowd on the street heard what was going on. The sound of someone being locked up in the Rav's house and the house of the Tosis Yontiv. This was a very unusual situation. And he saw the Tosis Yontiv standing outside. So what's going on over here? So they go over to the person, and he said to him, obviously there's something that the Tosis Yontiv detected in you. So they pushed him, and they pressed him, and he finally, he says, he admitted that he used to be a Yid, but he's a Mishumet. What happened is that he converted, sold his soul to the devil, and he joined a group of missionaries, and he was collecting the money for them. He collected the money for them. So they asked him a very interesting question. Okay, you collected the money for them, but why did you choose the name that you're collecting for the Bach? You see, the Bach of the Rosh Hashanah is Bayis Chodosh. That's the name of the Bach Sefer. The Bach is Bayis Chodosh. On the tour, you have the Bais Yosef on one side, the Bach is on the other side. The Bach is called Bayis Chodosh. So why did you choose the name of the Bach? He says, I'll tell you why. Because Bach is Rosh Hashanah is Bris Chodosh, New Testament. That's an extra show. That's what the New Testament is called. The Bris Chadosha. That's what it was. Yes, and I didn't lie. I'm collecting for the Bach. You saw that. I didn't tell you what Rosh Hashanah is. Collecting for the Bach. Collecting for the Bris Chadosha. So Lamai says, so that you can understand that the people responded by taking away all the money, of course, that they had given him and so on and so forth. And they sent them away, you can imagine, amid a lot of embarrassment and so on. So the story quickly, you know, spread throughout the town. Oh, the Tosis Yontiv, you know, here demonstrated the feat of Ruach HaKodesh. After all, how did he know? The man was dressed in rabbinical garb. No way to tell. How did he know that in fact that this man was an imposter? So Tosfos Yon asked, by the way, as all Gedolei Yisrael always, whenever they did something, they always minimized it. People should not say that they have Ruach HaKodesh. So Tosfos said, nah, it's not a Ruach HaKodesh at all. He said, because I was troubled about something. I always realized when I collect money for a Dovership and Kedusha, it's so difficult to collect. Here we're so easy. Because the Sultan was helping. He said, when it comes to Dovish and Kedusha, it's so hard because the Sultan tries to block it. He throws stones in your way. But it went so easy. People were giving money left and right. I never was so much clear in collecting money. There's a simon. Why? Because the money's going to the Sifra Achre. So this is the way, this is the chilik is. The amazing story of Rabbi Yisrael, the amazing lesson of the mice is that normally when things go easy, right, and go smoothly, we look at it as a brocha. And when things are a little bit difficult and struggles, we call it a klola. But many times it's just the opposite. Because when there are struggles in a situation, it's adrabe. Because it is really, in fact, there's hidden brocha in that. There's hidden brocha in that, and maybe that verifies that this is the derech of Kiddush and Torah. And when things go too easy, maybe it's going to the wrong side. So component of our bracha that we should be zoyche, that whatever we do should be with complete bracha, and it should be for a davar shebikdush as well.